The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Friends, welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd, and it is my joy today to welcome a young lady from the area that originally from Pennsylvania, now part of Central Florida. Her name is Lindsay Hedrick, and Lindsay, it's really nice to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're one of these people that hail from a university that is very near and dear to the Shepherd's heart. Mm-hmm. They're our first major sponsor, and we're so grateful for them, and that would be Palm Beach Atlantic University. Yes. So that's obviously later in your life. Tell us about your background and what was life like for you up in the cold Pennsylvania.
It's true, it's cold. So I'm born and raised in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Everyone asks if I'm Amish. I'm not Amish, but that's where I'm from. Grew up around Amish. It was a really, really neat area to grow up in.
Now, you know, I've been up there many times.
Have you?
In Lancaster. Now, it looks, many people would pronounce it Lancaster.
Everyone does. Yeah. Yep, but you pronounced it correctly.
Yeah, because if you're from the area or if you visited the area, it's Lancaster, and you're right. There is a large population of Amish up there.
Which is really neat, and it's very humbling just to see how hard they work. Growing up in that and seeing everyone, you know, working in the fields from day morning to night. It was really neat to be surrounded by those kind of people.
Yeah,
so,
and getting to travel up there and seeing the horse-drawn buggies and all of that is really cool.
Yep, and their food's delicious.
Yes. So, now, speaking of food, I'll have to tell you that I had never heard of Scrapple before.
Oh.
Until I was at a restaurant buffet, and I'm saying, Scrapple, what is Scrapple?
It's a lot of parts of the animal that you don't want to know, all combined into one. That's the best way to say it.
You know, it just goes to show that if you put anything into a deep fryer, it can come out tasting pretty good.
Delicious. Yes.
And you're right. Beyond that, for this purpose of this show, we won't go into any more of the nutritional or, for that matter, from the actual makeup of what the food is. Except that it's fried. And it's, since it has fat in it, it tastes great.
It tastes delicious. It does.
That's right.
Yes. Too funny.
Oh, that is funny. And I do have many wonderful memories. We would go up there for conferences. Hmm. There was a conference, I believe it's called Willow Valley.
Yep, I
remember correctly. That's
it. Yep. I had a family member who actually worked for Willow Valley.
Is that right?
Yes. Yep. Been there many times. My high school prom was at Willow Valley. So, know that area well.
Yeah.
It's a great conference center, hotel. I mean, it's pretty cool.
So you were born in that area.
Born in that area, yeah.
And how long did you stay there?
So I stayed there till I graduated high school. My parents are still living there. My older brother still lives there. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Florida to go to Palm Beach Atlantic University.
So that's what brought you here.
That's what brought me here.
Yeah.
Yep. And it was funny. My parents always said, you know, you're going to move to Florida and you're probably not going to come back. And I said, no, I'll come back. I'll graduate. I'll come back. Don't worry. And they were right. But I'm very thankful. They trusted the Lord. And they said, you know, we just truly believe that's where you're meant to be. And I'm the only. So a little background. I would have been the 19th person in my extended family to go to a college called Messiah College. It's a small Christian college in Pennsylvania. And I was the only one in our extended family to leave the state. And everyone thought, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, moving so far? But my parents let me spread my wings and said, nope, that's where we feel the Lord's led you and we're going to support you in that. Mm-hmm. So it's been pretty cool.
Sometimes when you're part of a real tight-knit community like that, there is an expectation that people will stay there.
Right.
And there's a lot to be said about that. Not complaining about that at all. Mm-hmm. I'm from Indiana and we all know the Hoosiers. Yep. If you've seen the movie Hoosiers, one of the lines and one of the angles of that script is the fact that no one ever leaves the area, even arguably, as one of the cast members would say, even though they should, they don't. And there's a kind of a fear of being pigeonholed with that. But there's a lot to be said about strong families. And you're coming from Pennsylvania. The history of that state in itself is very family oriented.
It is. It really, really is. And my family, it's really neat. My excuse me, my grandmother is 95 years old, mm-hmm. and we have about 35 plus family members in this family, and we're all believers. And it's just so cool what a legacy she's led, and we're all close. I mean, everyone besides my husband and I live, they all live in Pennsylvania, and yeah. they're all there and see each other, and it's just, it's a really neat legacy that I have come from and want to continue with my family too.
How many times do you get to go back in the course of a year?
About 2 to 3 times a year.
Well, that's good.
So it's not too bad. And mm-hmm. my family will come down and visit as well. So, uh-huh. and we're very close still. We still communicate often and now, talk often.
We saw pictures today. Of course, we're recording this message days in advance of when it will actually be aired. But on this morning in Indiana and Kentucky, people up there woke up to about 3 or 4 inches of snow.
And it's April 21st.
Yes.
It's wild.
How can that be?
Oh, yeah. That's another reason that I came down to Florida. I thought, where can I go where I'm not going to have to deal with the snow anymore?
Having grown up in Indiana, I can't think of a time that it ever snowed that late. One year I woke up and it was 5 inches of snow on a Sunday morning on Easter.
Wow.
But I believe it was like April 10th or 11th or something like that. This is late in the year.
This is very late for snow.
Yeah. And they're getting,
that's crazy.
They're probably only getting it for the morning because by later today or tomorrow, it's going to all be gone.
Yep. But what a fun way to wake up with a beautiful dusting of snow.
I guess so.
I love that feeling.
I'll let them enjoy it.
Yes. Just send pictures down to us, right?
So it sounds like you grew up in a family that were already believers.
We were.
And that's all you've ever really known.
That's all I've ever known. Yep. I accepted Christ when I was 6 years old in my bedroom with my mom and dad. And we grew up going to church every single Sunday in small groups. And so it was really neat to pursue that and to learn and grow in Christ and grow in my relationship. But I know that when I moved to Florida and went to Palm Beach Atlantic University, my relationship with him grew tenfold.
Now, as many would say, I've heard both sides of this story, that at an age like that, 6 years old, many would say that they found out later in life that what they went through was really a nice thing and it was meaningful, but they came to a real understanding, they would say, much later in life, maybe in high school or college or whatever. And then others that I've talked to who gave their hearts to the Lord at 5 or 6 years old really believe that that was the moment and they never kind of got off that path.
Yeah.
Which of those would you be?
I'm very grateful. I don't think I've ever gotten off that path.
Wonderful.
I didn't know as much of the word as at that age and growing up and whatnot. But I always put my faith first. I went to a public high school. And so that's always difficult being around all those temptations and the people. And I always wore my heart, my faith on my sleeve. And people knew that. Mm-hmm. And I made sure to be different. And I wanted to be different because I wanted everyone to see that I had Christ in me and that I was not going to, fall to the temptation and be in the bad crowd. I thought, I can't do that because God's watching, and so I always had that with me. But again, it matured. I mean, I was in I was in youth group growing up at church. And so we would go to, winter retreats and my faith would always grow during that. But to depend on him really happened a little bit later in life.
Sure. It's such a wonderful thing, though, to have experiences that you do recall, that you remember fondly about the Lord when you are that age. And I have a few of those, honestly. I was 10 years old when I gave my heart. But I do remember the difference that happened in my life, even at age 10.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would say, well, that's still young, and it was. But boy, that difference was huge to me, even at that age, and it meant a lot. But that's really a great story, and you have quite a testimony.
Yeah, I'm very, very thankful. I mean, like the Bible says, whenever you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And I felt that growing up. I knew the Holy Spirit was there. Did I always listen to him? No, but I knew that he was there, and I could tell there was a difference in me after accepting Christ, even at 6 years old.
What's one of the fondest memories that you can think of or remember that would have to do with the church, the community of believers around you? Hmm. Would that be different than what it was just with your family, since so many of them were believers?
Wasn't too different. I just had a lot of great friends growing up in church. we'd encourage each other. We had, it was called an impact group. And so it was about 10 girls and I, and we always kind of hold each other accountable and grow and read the word. And so I think that was the biggest impact on me, is just surrounding myself with other girls my age who are believers, rather than just hearing it from my parents and just hearing it from my brothers. I think that was the biggest impact, but it was similar to my family too.
That's really great. Now yeah. You're a lot younger person than I am. And yet I'm going to ask you this because I'm betting I know the answer to it already. There's probably groups of young people that you now still remember being one at that age yourself, mm-hmm. that would probably look at you as being old.
Yeah.
That's definitely. Happened to you already, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
What's that like for you right now at this stage?
It's neat. It's humbling. It's really cool to have younger people look up and me talking to them about my marriage and being involved in the church and how Christ has affected me and impacted my life. And I love that. I love being able to pour into people. And so to see younger people talking to them, and even at work when I talk to them, it's a blessing to be in at some point, like kind of like a role model in a way.
And that's what our call is to be, to be an example and to lead those that are younger well.
Yeah.
And that is really an important role in discipleship. Mm-hmm. It's a really an important role that we have as being image bearers of the Lord.
Exactly.
To live our lives in such a way as that
definitely.
We don't deter people from their walk or cause them to be a stumbling block, as the word says, but that you're able to help them. And that is a wonderful thing to have young people look up to you. Although I must say at this age, I think I'm beyond being older. I think I'm ancient to them.
Not at all. I'm sure there's so many people that look up to you.
Oh, well, that is not because of my stature. That's it. Oh, Lindsay's here today and we're talking a lot about the fact that she is a person who has come to Florida to be part of Palm Beach Atlantic University. And you came here with an aim. Did you always know you wanted to go into nursing?
Always, always. Even when I was a young girl, I would play in our basement doll hospital, and I would play with my dolls and help them and heal them and things like that. And I'd never strayed away from wanting to be a nurse. I've always loved taking care of people. And I am very a nurturing person. And so that just like is, I believe, my calling. Mm-hmm. And going through all school, I knew I wanted to be a nurse. I'm going to be in nursing school. Never once changed my mind.
Did those early tests and all the medical exams that you had to take, was any of that ever a problem for you?
Yep. I questioned it quite often. I'm like, okay, if I don't pass, these classes or nursing school, maybe I'll go into real estate or something, be a realtor. But I question myself. I mean, that's just, I feel like that's the devil coming in saying, question, like, no, you can't do this. You can't fulfill your dream. And so that's where I came in and fought back harder and said, no, I'm going to. And so I studied and it was difficult, but it was so worth it.
That's wonderful. When you now talk with people that are kind of coming to those decisions themselves in their life, what advice do you have for young people, let's say, that are 5-10 years older, 10 years younger than you, and they're trying to figure out what it is they want to do? What would you tell them?
I always just encourage people to find their passion, really. Just kind of play around with the different things and different careers and talk to people. I'm very grateful that I knew my passion early on. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times there's so many factors coming in, and it's hard to find your passion when there's just so many voices saying, okay, try this, be a vet, be a doctor, be a pilot. And so being able to just really play around with that and talk to people, I think is what I've been telling people, others, and just find your passion.
What is your favorite thing about it?
Nursing,
mm-hmm.
loving on people, taking care of people. I love it. It's just silly, but like as silly as putting lotion on a patient's feet and teaching them how to take care of their baby. So I work at Winnie Palmer Hospital as well. And it's a postpartum unit. So I take care of the moms and babies after the babies are born. And it's my favorite thing to be able to love on these patients and just teach them how to take care of their babies and just make them feel loved, truly, is what I feel. I get so much value from making people feel loved.
That's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us why it was that you chose Orlando and Palm Beach to come to school.
Yeah. So I have an aunt and uncle who live in Orlando. And so growing up, we'd always come down to Orlando for our spring break trip, my family and I. And I have an older brother who played baseball in high school and in college. And so we would go on different college visits while we were in Florida. And so PBA was one of them. Palm Beach Lincoln was one of them. And I remember visiting with my older brother and thinking, oh, no, this is not for me. This is not for me. And I was a freshman in high school. So what did I know? And then fast forward 2 years later, he didn't actually go to Palm Beach Atlantic University. He went to Messiah College.
And the college that
you talked
about.
The same college, yep. And I was a junior in high school. I thought, okay, you know, maybe I want to give this PBA, you know, thing a shot. And so my mom and I flew back down and visited, and I just fell in love. The nursing school there is incredible. I really fell in love with the dean and met the different staff there. And I just started praying. I'm like, okay, Lord, like if I'm meant to be there, show me. And I would read scripture that would have like palm branches in it. And I just got different signs from the Lord just saying, okay, go. And I thought, where can I go for 4 years that it's beautiful weather? I'm near a beach, you know, and I can get away from the snow. And so I pulled the trigger and I said, okay, let's do it. Let's go to PBA. So.
Well, and here you are.
And here I am.
Yeah. All these years later, how long ago was that that you became a nurse then?
I became a nurse in 2015.
So all right.
6 years ago.
6 years already.
I know. It's wild.
Yeah. And when you go back home, what is it like now when you go back?
To Pennsylvania?
To Pennsylvania.
It's great. I love it. I love that my family's there. I'm grateful that they're still there because it just makes me feel like I'm kind of going back to my roots. But I definitely would consider Winter Park in Orlando my home now.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is wonderful. I'm talking with this young lady. This is Lindsay Hedrick, and we're going to be back with her in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Here in the studio today with Lindsay Hedrick as my guest, and Lindsay is a nurse, and finding out about Lindsay and her passions for people, passions for nursing, I'm also finding out that there is something about her that you may or may not know, and it's not really a surprise that people, when they graduate from school and they're in the field that they love, that something kind of comes up on the horizon, and they look at that and go, you know, I think I like that too. And from a job standpoint, that's happened to you.
Yep, absolutely.
So tell us about this venture that you are in.
Yes, no pun intended. That was good. I like it.
No pun intended.
So I was a full-time nurse, and my husband and I and our family decided to go into co-working space business. And so we opened up Venture X downtown Orlando, which is located in downtown Orlando off Pine Street. And it was a really neat transition going from being a nurse. My mind is medical. I didn't take any business classes, you know, being in nursing school. And so it was really neat to switch to the business world and get to know that and learn how to manage staff and manage a business, really. And so our business is Venture X, and it's a co-working space.
Now, I've never heard that phrase before, a co-working space.
Yes.
So explain that.
So co-working space it's a new model of office space, which I think we did some research and thought it was a good model. And now with the pandemic going on, it's even better now. But what we offer is month-to-month memberships. So instead of a 3 to 5 year lease for a company, they can come in and just sign a month-to-month membership with us. And they get an office space. They get furniture. We pay for all their utilities, their Wi-Fi, and they can come and work in our space. We provide coffee and tea and snacks, and it's a nice way to collaborate with others. We currently have over 100 members in our space, and so all of those 100 members are companies, and so all those companies can network with each other. So it's really providing a neat networking opportunity too in community within the 21,000 square feet that we have downtown Orlando.
You know, as you think about all of the fact that the pandemic shut so many businesses down, and it became an economic a hardship to keep, let's say, office space going when they didn't need to. So many companies sent their employees home.
Exactly.
And yet that doesn't work well for a lot of people when they're still needing to meet people in their business.
Right.
So that would be one of the main draws that you would offer.
Exactly. So that's been a blessing. In the beginning of the pandemic, it was definitely slow. Business was slow. But after a few months, everyone was getting a little antsy working from home. And so they came back to us and said, okay, I need an office space. I need to get out of my house. Mm-hmm. And we provide private offices. So it's a secure, we call it, you know, a secure bubble in a way. We clean it. We have a cleaning company. But yet they can close the door and feel safe in this office. And so we again, provide also conference room space and event space. And so we just say, come on in. You know, if you're the company you work for sending you home, just come on in and work for us. It's very cost effective too, because we provide, again, everything, the Wi-Fi, utilities, coffee, snacks, air conditioning, all that.
So for those who, let's say, rent on a monthly basis, they get a key to their office as well then, and it's functionally like it were their own office.
Exactly. It's their own office and 24/7 access too, so they can come into the office anytime they want to.
And those that stay for the day, obviously, then they take all of their stuff back with them at the end of the day.
Yep, exactly. So we have different memberships. We have the flex memberships, which is you bring your stuff with you at the end of the day. And then we have the private office memberships where you can keep your things there.
So now a nurse has become a bit of an entrepreneur and you are now branching out. You still love nursing, though, and you're still doing
nursing,
that.
And I'm still doing that. That was the agreement. My husband, he's very extremely supportive. And so he said, if you want to continue being a nurse, you do that. And so we'll make it work. And so I'm very, very grateful for the arrangement that I have at the hospital that I can work per diem. And then I can work full time at Venture X currently. So, yeah, I'm very grateful. I love it. I call hospital days my Lindsay days because I'm able to go in, see my friends at the hospital and love on the patients. And then I get back into the Lindsay business days.
Yeah.
Venture X.
Now, we were talking about the pandemic and its impact on Venture X, your business. Obviously, as a nurse, you've seen the pandemic up and close, very personal in many different forms. I know Orlando and Central Florida, initially, all of our areas were hit very hard.
Yeah.
And some hospitals got to be near capacity. What was that like for you working in the profession? Was there a lot of fear involved in that in the beginning?
In the beginning, there was. But fortunately, Winnie Palmer wasn't the hub for all the COVID patients. We would take care of a lot of COVID moms. And then when they'd have the babies, we would take care of them as well. So we had a good amount of patients that had COVID, but it wasn't overloaded. Really, it was just the fear. And it was sad because, I mean, it's such an exciting time in someone's life to have a baby. And you want, typically, family comes and you have guests come. And cutting that all out is difficult for patients.
Yes. Not getting visitations when you're in the hospital.
Right.
It's unthinkable.
Right. Exactly. Especially for the sick patients. I can't even fathom it. I mean, having moms, if they test positive for COVID, their husbands can't even be with them as they deliver their baby. And so that was heartbreaking for sure. And the new protocols that we have with that was an adjustment, but we're going, you know, we're working with it.
How long do you think you've seen the change or the turn where things were improving? How long has that been now?
Probably within, excuse me, just like 2 months, 3 months.
Okay.
They added a new guest. So now each mom can have two visitors with them. So that's good. But it's just slowly but surely working its way back. So I think just the past couple months ago, really the new year is when things started changing.
Are people in the medical business, the hospital profession, are they starting to believe that there's going to be an end to all of the needed protocols like masks and things like that?
I hope so. I really hope
that's
so.
That's a hopeful
that's
answer.
That's how I am. Yes. Yep. I'm ready for it to end for sure. So,
yeah. It's really crazy to see how our life has changed and how people respond, and even the fear of shaking hands.
Oh,
that has been such a change for Americans.
It really has. I don't like it. I just feel like fear is so of the devil. And, you know, yes, you have to be aware of what you're doing and wash your hands. But I just think it's just so sad how everyone's just fearful. I hate that. And I can't wait for that to change. And I've been praying that changes because, fear is not of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the mood like on the hospital floors with regards to the vaccines? Is it bringing about hope or kind of a positive expectation, or is there a talk on the other side?
No, it definitely is. There's a lot of nurses on the floor who have gotten vaccinated, are much more relieved and are excited about it. So it's definitely a positive thing.
Would those in your profession believe that this is a safe and good vaccine?
They do. Some do, yeah. And I know a couple who will not get the vaccine.
And what would be their reasons?
Because it's too early. Because there's just not enough research on it, especially women of childbearing age. There's no evidence to show how it could affect you getting pregnant or having your baby, things like that. So a lot of girls my age are more hesitant than the older nurses are.
And that's understandable. Yeah. And you're talking about a vaccine that came out in record time.
Exactly. So that's the hesitancy. And, and personally, for me too, I just feel like it's just too soon and I'm pregnant and I just don't want to even risk it. So,
do you feel that the protocols that are in place right now are the right ones? Or do you feel that we probably have or could have more in place than we need?
That's a good question. I think what we have in place are fine. If anything, they can lighten up a little bit now that the vaccine is, you know, being distributed to so many people. So
I know it's now available to most residents now.
And, it is in Florida. Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, really. They've done, again, a great job of getting the distribution lines all set up and and it appears to be working very well.
Yeah,
you've been part, grateful. We'll switch gears here. You've been part of this event that Palm Beach offers called Women of Distinction. Now, tell me about that.
Yeah, so Women of Distinction is a really great event that PBA hosts every year. And it it just honors an individual that has really impacted the world, the country, the state, especially Palm Beach Atlantic and the Palm Beach area. And so I'm very grateful. My mother-in-law, Mother in Love, is on the board of Palm Beach Atlantic University. And so she has kindly, you know, asked if I could join her for these Women of Distinction events. So it's been really, really neat. Last year in 2020, Melania Trump came. We honored her. And in 2018, Candy Carson came and we honored her. And so
Wife of Ben Carson.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I unfortunately wasn't there for the 2019 one. I think I had to work, but they're really, really neat events. And there's a band and the president speaks and we just honor this woman for what they've done for the county and for the town. And it's a beautiful event hosted at the Breakers. So I love
Wonderful.
It. Yeah.
You met your husband in Florida?
I did. Yes. It's actually quite funny of a story, but my husband's middle brother went to Palm Beach Atlantic University with me. And so I met him right even before we started as a freshman. And my husband went to the University of Florida.
Go Gators.
Go Gators. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And so my junior year of college, I knew my brother-in-law, Parker, and we were good friends. And then my husband, Burke, came down one weekend for like a long weekend home. And we met and we've been together ever since. But it's been neat because I knew the whole Hedrick family for 2.5 years before even knowing my own husband. So I'd go over to their house because they live in West Palm. And I'd cook with Kathy, my mother-in-law. And,
wow. Even before you met him?
Even before I met my husband. So I knew the entire family. I even knew the grandparents. And but he was the missing link. He was the one person I didn't know.
And he was away at school?
And he was away, yep, getting his master's in real estate at University of Florida. And he came and it's like, oh, okay, you're just the older brother. But it turned into something else. So.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a fun story. And people would say, you got to love it when a gator comes to steal the show.
Exactly. Yep. He took the sailfish for sure. So on our, we had a wedding reception in West Palm Beach and we had a gator and a sailfish on the invite, which was fun. So yeah, very grateful. It's a neat story for sure. Knowing the Hedricks and the Hedricks are just so involved with Palm Beach Atlantic University. Like I said, Kathy's on the board of the university. And so and my father-in-law, Dale Hedrick, has built dorms on campus. And so it's been really neat to continue the Palm Beach Atlantic University legacy with the family. You know, I didn't just graduate and move away. I still go and visit the college and see all the professors and things like that.
So at least there's not going to be the house divided when you have game days and stuff like
that. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Your husband is with a clear conscience able to support everything that PBA does.
Exactly. Yep. There's no competition.
So here's the big question though. All my friends in Gainesville are waiting for me to ask this.
Yes.
Do you root for the Gators?
Absolutely. Funny, all right. Funny story. When we first met, being in Pennsylvania, I didn't really know much about SEC football. And so he said, well, I go to the University of Florida. And I was like, okay, don't really know what that is. And he's like, the Florida Gators. And I was like, oh, the team that makes the Gatorade. That's all I knew about the Florida Gators, to be honest. And now I say I bleed orange and blue, too. And I love the Gators. And we go to games often.
This is getting legit now. Yep. You're using Gator lingo. like that.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Final question for you, Lindsay. Faith education, the ability that you've had, and obviously, you've prospered where you went to college.
Absolutely.
And you're still involved in it. It's not like you're not, it's not like you, your life didn't change because of where you went. What are the values that when you think about education for young people, what advice would you give them?
I think it's so important. I would encourage everyone to go to a private Christian college or just get a Christian education, just to start class with prayers. We would always, in nursing school, before any test, we would all gather around the room, hold hands and pray, and to give all of our worries to the Lord and just to, you know, bow down to Him before we did anything was so life-changing. And just to be able to lean on Him was really, really an amazing thing. I mean, having Bible classes, we had, I believe we were required 2 or 3 Bible classes, and being able to learn more, you know, and dig into the Word, and in the middle of my science class or my, you know, human resources or whatnot class, it's just, it's really neat to learn more in that. And it grew me as a person. I got baptized on a missions trip when I was at PBA for the first time. And I know my relationship with Him grew exponentially going to Palm Beach Atlantic University, and I wouldn't be the person I am today if I didn't go there.
That's a good testimonial.
Yep.
Now you mentioned you're expecting. When's the date?
August 16th.
Wow.
Yes.
And are you guys waiting to find out what you're going to have?
We know already.
You already know.
It's a little boy.
Oh,
yes.
Wonderful.
Yep.
And you have a name picked out?
Not yet. We're still looking at different lists.
Oh, that's great. Did you guys do one of those gender reveal things?
We did.
Was that fun?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. My husband, he shot a balloon that was filled with powder with a little BB gun. And so it exploded and the powder went everywhere. It was really fun.
Oh, that's great.
We had a lot
of
our friends and family there.
It's a good thing he was a good shot.
I know.
Yeah,
he's
the
a
reveal,
good one.
It
he's a hunter, so I had confidence he wasn't going to mess it up.
All right. It's great to talk with you, Lindsay Hedrick. And very exciting concept that you guys have with Venture X.
Yes.
And any new plans for the future? Are you going to expand, or are you just going to hold the line where you are right now?
We're going to hold the line. Yeah, we're really growing. We're making a name for ourselves in the downtown Orlando community. We want to grow and have a name, you know, outside of the downtown Orlando community, and just impact other businesses and help other businesses grow their business as well. So we're just going to hold ground and keep working and keep, you know, bringing businesses in and helping them.
That sounds awesome.
Yep.
Lindsay, thank you for dropping by today.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
And we welcome you back here, Afternoons with Mike on the Shepherd. I have Harmon Krause. He is the administrator and the principal at the King of Kings Lutheran School in Maitland, a neighbor to the Shepherd. That's crazy. It looks like we should be right next door to each other, but the way things on Wymore Road in Orlando are numbered, you're down the road a little ways, but close enough for rock and roll. And so we welcome you to our studios today, Harmon.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be here. I am excited to be a part of of this ministry, the whole Christian church on earth, like I like to call it. You know, we're all working in ministry and working together to hopefully share the gospel with more people.
That's wonderful. And you've been a part of the Lutheran Church. As we talked about before we began our recording of this program, you became part of a family, born into part of a family that had a rich heritage in ministry. And that's something that you've grown up with all your life.
Yeah, at least a name, right? We struggle when we're younger. I had, you know, I just like many people, I'm very sinful, and I have a past that many of us would love to take back and change, so that this, you know, my life now is devoted to Christ and to sharing the gospel with as many souls as I can, so I can influence people in a positive Christian way.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Tell me about growing up. You were an athlete.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a family. I have six siblings, so it's a large, old German family that we have. Too many pets to count. You know, it's just kind of it was a chaotic household growing up. But I love all my siblings, and you know, we're all working together to help each other. And athletics was kind of one of my outlets that I had growing up. I played in high school and a little bit of college football, and I really loved coaching other people, particularly young athletes, to be the best that they can be and glorify God with their talents, athletically. And graduating college, that's what I wanted to do. I told my college, no, I didn't want to be a principal. I didn't want to be an administrator. I just wanted to coach and work in athletics. And God, I guess, had different plans for me.
Yes. And you're doing those plans right now in a way that is so exciting and so needed, because we all know how much value is placed on education in our country, and the needs are great. And I know that you've done a lot of things. You came actually from school. You went to get a doctorate, and you're actually in studying that right now, right?
Yeah, I'm working on my doctorate at Concordia University in Chicago. And the ultimate goal is to use that to help my community, those around me, other parents, other educators, other Christian churches and schools, into helping make our Christian church stronger and also help bring more souls to it.
Mm. How has the pandemic affected what you're doing at the school right now?
Enrollment-wise, it hurt quite a bit. We lost a lot of families because a lot of families switched to homeschooling options or virtual options. So our enrollment hurt going into this year, and being a new principal, my number one goal was to build trust with the families, build trust with the faculty. Most of the faculty is new because the principal retired. Some other teachers moved back home they accepted positions up in Wisconsin. So many of our teachers are new at our school, and I had to come in and build trust with the families that are there and everyone else and kind of in the community. So one of my goals has been to reach out to some key community members, other Christian schools, and earn that trust by unifying and working together, sharing and empowering others to help me make decisions in the school. So it's actually benefited us, and we're looking at growing quite a bit next year. This year we have 35 students in our school. Next year we're going to probably hit close to 60, if I were to guess. So it's growing quite a bit. And a lot of that is due to our families and our teachers just doing a great job working. Our culture is amazing there that we have. Everyone's empowered to make decisions together. And the COVID pandemic has actually helped with that, because if I were to make decisions myself, we would be in a world of hurt still right now. Mm-hmm. And with everybody coming together and making decisions on, should we have in-person school? Should we have virtual school? Should we wear masks? What should our hand sanitizing look like? And all this kind of stuff. And for the most part, a lot of the COVID decisions are non-education decisions that are being made. And I like to empower my parents, my students sometimes, my teachers for sure, on those decisions. And we're all doing a great job working together and making those decisions and setting us up for next year. And we have a great plan to have in-person instruction next year and be mask-free, actually.
Now, when you say next year, that would be this fall, right?
This upcoming fall, the 21-22 school year.
Because I've heard a lot of churches and a lot of church schools are doing just that. They're making full plans to kind of return almost to normal, if not normal, this fall.
Yeah, we haven't had a single COVID positive case among our students or faculty this whole year. And we believe that we have the resources and we have the plan in place to kind of just go hopefully as normal as we can next year.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also mentioned to me that you're part of a network of other schools and other cities scattered throughout Florida, right?
Yeah, we're actually scattered all across the country. It's called the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and we have about 300 schools across the country, 30 high schools, and we have several schools in Florida. We have three in the Orlando area, Deltona, Kissimmee, and one in Maitland. We have one in Doral, Florida. We have one in Palm Coast. So we're all scattered throughout Florida. But we do have more churches than we have schools, because usually the churches are the ones that start the schools and mm-hmm. are the supporting system behind the schools. And we have churches in Ocala, Gainesville, The Villages, Orlando.
Those are shepherd cities. So that's really exciting to hear that you're up there as well and doing this work. You know, you talked about earlier about the need for teachers, and there is a kind of almost like a shortage, right, for teachers in a lot of schools today.
Yeah, and particularly in our private school system that we have, our schools for the most part are growing, especially this next year, as many of our private schools are growing because of COVID. You know, despite COVID, a lot of parents are going from virtual to private schooling because they realize there's scholarship options that are available that the state of Florida has. That this huge private corporation called Step Up for Students, they help pay for students to go to private school at our school for almost free. And it's great because parents are finding out about these resources, these choice programs, and it's driving up enrollment, which is creating a need for teachers in those schools.
What do you see as the biggest need right now in Central Florida with regards to our coming out of this climate of fear and all the talk about the pandemic? What do you think parents are thinking of the most right now?
Parents are always thinking about their kids first, I think. And with that, I would say the biggest need is to work together. We have a lot of people trying to make decisions by themselves or think they know what the right decision is. But when we work together and we put our trust in God and we always keep God as our focus and Christ and everything he's done for us, we have this faith over fear mindset, where we're not afraid, we're ready to move forward. And I'm sure you know as well, when you work together with somebody, it's a lot easier to take on a challenge head on than by yourself.
Definitely have to have the help of others. There's no question about it. Would not be a lot of fun either if you were just doing it all by yourself and trying to make the way through. And these have been such weird, difficult times, like you said, and it sounds like you guys are rounding the corner on that and looking to maybe even double then this year over next year over this year.
Get close to it. Yeah. Our plan is not to just grow in numbers. Our plan is to create the best Christian environment for students to excel in mm-hmm. and do well. I tell parents, my job is to make your kid better than you. You know, there's no parent that doesn't want that for their kid. And we're going to create the best environment we can for the students that we have. And the plan is to grow in a safe and sustainable way over several years, 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to work together with all of our Christian schools to reach out to the community, to reach out to families so that they know that there's Christian schools and there's resources to help put parents in those Christian schools.
That's a wonderful thing. The goal to bring people together, the goal is really to get through this together, to get through this with strength, and to see the blue skies on the other end of this horrible time. It's been a tough time.
Exactly. God's hand is always at work, and we don't see it. I had a struggle in my last, job as a principal, and in the time it was a struggle. And I was really, really, at the time I was like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why am I so bad at my job? Kind of, and then you don't realize until years later that, wow, God really worked through that. And what a blessing to get through it together with my wife and my family and my close friends to help me see that.
You mentioned you're married, and where did you meet your wife?
I met my wife in college. We've been married 7 years this upcoming summer. We're blessed with two beautiful children. We just had a new son born on March 28th.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. So we have a son and a daughter. Our daughter's 3 and a half, and she is a handful. But it's just a blessing to have a wonderful, beautiful family. And my wife is, you know, she's the strongest woman I know. So it's a blessing to have her at my side.
That's tremendous. And what are your goals now beyond just the getting the students up? Are there any new things that you guys are looking to add to King of Kings?
We're doing a lot of campus. We have a plan to have a bunch of campus updates. We have a gymnasium that needs some work. We're going to be putting in a new floor, hopefully this upcoming year or relatively soon, whenever the funding, you know, is there. And then doing a bunch of campus updates to make it look like, you know, it is a great, beautiful campus right now. But just getting it above and beyond, it's God's house. You know, it's the Lord is doing work there. And we want to make sure that it's the best. It gives glory to God and just the physical appearance, too.
I think you can actually see it from I-4 as you're driving.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this would be near the Maitland interchange where it crosses over I-4. That's where the school is.
Yes. You can't miss us now because they built this beautiful Coptic church right next door to us. It has almost a mosque look to it, but it's an Egyptian Christian church that's right next door. And we're literally maybe 50 feet away from their church. And right after, when you're going north on I-4, we're just past it on Maitland Boulevard on the right-hand side.
Hmm. King of Kings Lutheran Church, what's your website?
Visit kok.com/school.
What do you like most about Central Florida?
The weather. I love seeing green. I grew up in the Midwest, and I tell my family I'm perfectly happy never seeing snow again.
Ironically, this morning, many of our relatives up in that area woke up. Here it is. And they wake up to 3 to 4 inches of snow. That seems so late.
I know it is. I remember growing up, there was one day my mother told me the other day that there was during Mother's Day, there was still some snow. It's just, I can't stand it.
Yeah, well, I kind of expect that in the northern states, but, you know, in the Ohio Valley, that is almost unheard of. And
exactly.
Certainly weird. And it'll be gone by mid-afternoon, you know, because it's going to be up in the 50s. Now, how weird is that? It can be in the 30s and snow in the nighttime and hit 55 degrees the very next afternoon. That is, as they say, or as we would used to say in Indiana, the changing temperatures. If you don't like it today, just wait till tomorrow because it will be completely different.
Yeah.
That's right.
One thing I love about Florida is the clothes. You know, you can walk outside every single day with a t-shirt and shorts on. Up in Minnesota and Wisconsin, you're walking out with jackets and then by the afternoon you have shorts on. You know, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah. We're much more consistent down here. And that's a good thing. What a great opportunity to have Harmon Krause here in our studio from King of Kings Lutheran School, one of our neighbors right off of Wymore Road in Orlando. And we wish you nothing but the best and trust that the school will do all of what you have mentioned as the goal, and our hopes are fulfilled and that school enrollment doubles this year.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a joy being here. It's all the parents. That's all parents and students. They're doing all the work for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I'm sure they would say, no, you're doing a lot yourself, but it's great to have you with us, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
And that's going to do it for today. We thank you so very much for being with us here on Afternoons with Mike, and we'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.